Hey friends, and welcome to It's Better When You're Here podcast. My name is Pastor Michael, and I get to be the pastor of Shepherd's Community United Methodist Church, one church at two locations in Central Florida. This is the sermon that we preach this week. I hope that the message inspires you and encourages you and reminds you that God loves you. All right, here's the message.
The first thing that I think of is probably something a little derogatory. You hear it in sort of mocking ways where you cry like a girl or things like that. So that is the first thing that I think of. So we came to Shepherd's when my daughter, who is now 20, was a baby and fell in love with the church, fell in love with the people, and our kids grew up there, and I have been married to my husband since 1996. You can do the math. While I was in the Marine Corps for 10 years, I loved it, would do it again, had a wonderful experience. My uncle, who was my best friend growing up, was a Marine, and he was severely injured in an airplane crash during some training. And so for the better part of my life, he was bedridden. But you wouldn't really know it because he was so kind and so positive, never complained. And what fostered our friendship was the fact that he was always present, where most men are working, busy, out of the home. And so he was always there. And he was my first love. And he died when I was 18, which is was very pivotal for me. I think it's a very pivotal, you know, those later teenage years are hard for a lot of teenagers trying to figure out who they are and what they want to do. And when he died, it was really devastating. It was my first big loss. And things sort of fell into place after that without me really knowing. But again, I think it was a divine plan. The recruiters came to our high school, and I said, that's it. That's what I'm doing. And I didn't exactly associate it with my uncle, oddly, at that time. But of course, I knew that I was drawn to that because I wanted to be just like my uncle. And went home and told my dad that I was going to join the Marine Corps, and his exact words to me were, no daughter of mine is joining the Marine Corps. You're gonna go to college. So I'm very stubborn, as I always have been, very hard-headed, and no is kind of a challenge for me. So I went to college, and then I went in the Marine Corps. And I served, like I said, 10 years, 6 on active duty and 4 in the reserves. Major. Women have a really beautiful ability to collaborate with people and see the best in people. I believe that women are really good at listening. Even though we talk a lot, we also have that compassionate side that I don't necessarily see a lot of male leaders possess. They're much more task-oriented and mission-driven, and so you need both. I always tell the story. I had my dear friend, Marty Carpenter, that I went through training with, and we went through MOS school together, and when we hit the fleet, we were the same rank, same MOS, had the same training, and he just was a different gender. And he and I would walk into a room together, and immediately he was taken seriously and listened to, and I was kind of like, people were a little skeptical, like, I don't know if she knows what she's talking about. So I just kind of stuck with it, and over time, my Marines saw that I cared about them. And that's, to me, the number one thing. If you lead with love, people will show up. People will go the extra mile. God has given us all unique gifts and abilities, men and women. And to have faith like a girl is to lean into those gifts that God has given us women And they are really beautiful gifts because we are the nurturers, we are the caregivers, we are the community builders.
Amen. I'm so grateful for the stories of women in our church and in our community, and of course in scripture as well, that we get to share together. So grateful for the witness of Gretchen. Gretchen was the only employee that Shepherd's had other than myself when I came here in 2021. And so she was the children's director. So of course she was in charge of paying the electric bill, making sure the sanctuary was clean, cleaning the toilets and all those things. She really kept Shepherd's afloat. And so what a remarkable woman to know and to share her story is such a gift. She was at the chapel campus this morning, and it was great to be able to share that story with that community and this community as well. You know, in a world inundated with single heroic leaders, the person of Deborah reminds us that the best missions of our lives will involve other people. Like Gretchen learned in the Marine Corps and we learn in our everyday lives, we will go further together. Today, I want to remind all of us that we all lead somewhere, and above all of that, the best outcomes are on the other side of collaboration. Let us lead like Deborah. I'm so grateful that we get to worship together. I'm feeling that I need to have a moment of pause. Can I lead us in a time of worship? Is that okay? Or in a time of prayer? Just a brief moment. We're already worshiping. But just a moment of prayer. I need just a bit of a pause. I was messaging someone from here right before I walked up. Kind of forgot that the video was going to end. Not going to fib at all. And just feeling a need a moment to just pause. Is that okay? Can we join our hearts together in prayer? So maybe if you're like me, it might be good to put your hand on your heart and remind yourself that you're a human being, not a human doing. Take a deep breath in and out. Let's pray together. Almighty God, we thank you so much for everyone gathered here in this room and everyone joining us online. We thank you that this church community is here to love our neighborhood well. God, we thank you for the lives that have been changed and transformed because of the work that you're doing in and through us here in this space and around the world. God, we pray today that as we learn from your word, that we learn from the witness of the women that have led us, that we might become more like your son, Jesus Christ, in whose name that we pray today. Amen. Amen. All right. Thank you. I feel better. Okay, good. So our passage today comes from Judges chapter 4. If you have a Bible, you can turn to Judges chapter 4. The book of Judges is this really interesting book filled with sort of heroic tales. Judges chapter 4 and Judges chapter 5 are really interesting. We will not be reading the story of Jael, who is also in these passages. For scholars at home and in the room, Jael is pretty famous because she, what's the play? She killed a guy with a tent peg. It was one of the more gruesome stories in the Bible, very Game of Thrones-esque. So that is not our passage today, but we do get to read the story of Deborah. So Judges chapter 4, verses 6 through 9, if you want to join me in reading. All right. She sent word to Barak, Abinoam's son, from Kedesh in Naphtali, and said to him, "Hasn't the Lord, Israel's God, issued you a command? Go and assemble at Mount Tabor, taking 10,000 men from the people of Naphtali and Zebulun with you. I'll lure Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, to assemble with his chariots and troops against you at the Kishon River, and then I'll help you overpower him." Barak replied to her, I'll go. If you'll go with me, I'll go. But if not, I won't go." Deborah answered, "I'll definitely go with you. However, the path you're taking won't bring honor to you because the Lord will hand over Sisera to a woman." Then Deborah got up and went with Barak to Kedesh. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Hey friends, it's Pastor Michael. We are just so grateful for every last one of you that listens to the It's Better When You're Here podcast. We are so excited that we get to share in this work of ministry and the messages that are preached every week at Shepherd's Community United Methodist Church. We wanted to give you an opportunity. If you want to be a part of what God is doing here at Shepherd's here in Central Florida, and you would like to give, you can go to shepherdsumc.com/give. And you can find a way to give that way. Any support really helps us produce this podcast, but also helps us love our neighborhood around the world very, very well. So thank you for tuning in, and now back to the podcast.
Very good. So like I said, the book of Judges is this really interesting book. It is a collection of legendary history. It's not so much focused on facts and figures. You know, when you read a history book, it says, you know, in 1953, so-and-so happened, and in 1972, such-and-such happened. That's not what the book of Judges is about. Instead, the book of Judges is about these fanciful tales of grandeur to give the people of Israel something to believe in. In fact, Judges 5, scholars believe, is the oldest bit of Hebrew poetry that we possess. So it's a very old story that we have here that we're reading together this morning. If you ever read the stories of, you know, Babe and the Big Blue Ox, or Babe the Big Blue Ox, or Tom Henry, or Johnny Appleseed, these are all stories based off of real occurrences, real people, but told in fanciful ways. The reason why that matters is because when we look back at true heroes, we often see that they helped others achieve more. And so when we read these stories, we learn about people getting helped by these heroes, by these judges that led Israel. So we have a picture of Deborah. You may have already seen it, but we could see it again. Deborah was a judge. She was, and for judges, this is not like she had a gavel and she sat, you know, in a courtroom and adjudicated, but rather a judge is someone who brings justice. So she was like a justice delivery woman. That was her job. She was someone that brought justice. She would sit underneath her palm tree and people would come in order to receive justice. That was Deborah's job. And she led the people of Israel. She was a hero. You know, they've made something like 45,000 Marvel movies, and I can't watch one more of them. I really can't. But there's these heroes, these Spider-Man, these Supermen, these Miss Marvel, all these incredible heroes that we see, these stories, they give us something to aspire to. And that's the story of Deborah. And the best outcomes are on the other side of collaboration. Let us lead like Deborah. So we've got work to do. To be a leader is to recognize a need early. To be a leader does not necessarily mean that you're on a committee or you have a title, but rather you see something that has to be changed and you want to get the change done. You see, every person has the ability to lead because everyone can spot what's wrong. If you see something that isn't quite right, you are gifted with the ability to lead. See, Deborah knows that Barak needs to do something. That's what makes her a leader. In this season of the story of Israel, you read Judges, it is a constant roller coaster. Israel has a right relationship with God. They do what is evil in God's sight, and they're conquered by someone else. And then they do what is right in God's eye, not right, right, not right, again, and it, you know, like our lives. Hey, good, bad, good, bad, good, bad, up and up and up and up and up, right? Deborah shows up right in the middle of this valley, and the people of Israel are conquered. They're being ruled by Sisera. Everyone say Sisera. Sisera, there you go. Sisera is in charge of Israel and is controlling Israel and is extracting wealth from Israel. And the people of Israel, do you know how they feel about that? Fine. That's all right. That's a pain in the neck, but what can you do? You know, it's Sisera's always been in charge and he always will be, and that's just the way that it is. Everyone was perfectly fine with it, except for Deborah. Deborah saw the way things are and knew that they could be better and thought that they could be different. And so she called Barak to do something about it. You see, the best outcomes are on the other side of collaboration. Let us lead like Deborah. You see, like Gretchen said and Deborah showed, leaders are only able to lead people who know that you care. Later on in our conversation, Gretchen shared that her Marines were able to show up and do great things because they knew that she loved them. If to know Gretchen is to know that she loves you and that she would do anything for you, and in turn, I would do anything for Gretchen. I know that because she loves me, I would do anything for her. And Deborah does the same thing. Deborah's call shows Barak that at least one person knows he can do it. Barak, I'm sure, had some sort of uncertainty in his life. If you read into the names in this story, Barak is the Hebrew word for lightning. Judges is actually supposed to be a comedy in some places, which if you've read Judges is wild to believe. But in the joke here is that basically a guy named Speedy is moving slow. Right? And Deborah's the only one that sees that he could actually fulfill his name and be lightning and be power, like his name, Barak, has called him to be. She believes in him. Deborah shows up and believes in Barak and shows him that he can do it. I'll never forget. I was 12 or 13 years old, I think, and I was at the youth group yard sale. The youth group needed money to go to camp, and so what did we do? We asked everyone to bring their trash to the church so that we could sell it to people so that they could donate it to a yard sale in 15 years, right? All the things that Grandma bought you at Pigeon Forge is out here on a table. There are a couple of car batteries, which I, in hindsight is pretty weird, but it was like whales, man. What are you going to do? And so we had this great yard sale. We're raising money, and I was out there. I was volunteering because I needed some of that money to go to camp, and so I'm out there. I'm advertising. I'm walking up and down the street with signs. I'm doing the youth group kid thing. My youth pastor, Pastor Mark, pulls me aside and says, Michael, I have a job that I think you would be really good at. 13 years old, an adult, a grown-up. This guy has a car. He believes in me. It really piqued my ears. I knew that I was going to do something great. He said, I need someone to take the money. And Michael, I know you're good at math. And so I know that you'll be good at this. And I was like, I will be good at this. I will be good at this. And so I sat down at the table. He showed me how to do it. He's like, now you take a 20, you hold the 20, because here at this yard sale, you could have someone that says, no, I gave you a 50. I need more change. And you can prove him right. Talked me through all of this, told me to take my time, to count everything twice, to yada, yada, yada. And I, at 13 years old, was the guy who took the money at the yard sale. I was somebody. And it was because Pastor Mark told me that I would be really good at it. And you know what? I was terrible at it. I was so bad. It took so long. It took me so long to count everything. I counted wrong. I'm sure we lost so much money because I was the guy counting money. We didn't have a square or anything to do the math for me. I'm there like one, two, three, 1 second, four. I got to start over. One, you know, and like this sort of thing. I was not very good, but I had someone that believed in me. And Deborah believed in Barak. When we lead, we have to show others that we believe in them. Now, I don't think that I'm a pastor today because my youth pastor told me that I could take the money at the yard sale. But one thing I do know is that since then, I've had many opportunities to fail and to be disappointed in myself, to not do as good as I would hope that I could. And I always had that moment when my youth pastor said, I believe in you, to hold on to say, maybe I am good at math. Maybe I am trustworthy. Maybe I am someone that could be relied upon. Maybe I am because someone believed in me. You see, the best outcomes are on the other side of collaboration. Let us lead like Deborah. You see, Deborah wasn't out to get out of her own work. She was getting someone into their work. You read this passage and Deborah's like, hey, someone should probably fight this army, Barak. Someone's got to do this. No, that's not what it was. Instead, Deborah knew that her role was not to lead the army, but instead that was Barak's call to go and lead the army. She knew that he had some great work ahead of him. And here at Shepherd's, we do something similar. It's always so funny when you use Bible stories to talk about modern age. You know, in our church leadership, not one of us is going to have to fight Sisera, okay? At least I hope not, because I don't know how good we would do. I believe in all of us, but, you know, Sisera. Yeah. But it's kind of funny to look at it this way. But here at Shepherd's, we have leaders everywhere you look. Of course, we have the ad council, you have me, the pastor, you have committees, you have teams, we have a design team, we have all these different things. We have a kids ministry team, we have all these different teams and leaders. And as a church, something unique about us is that those aren't the only leaders. We have leaders that serve even though they are not staff or committee members. They're still leaders. Everyone in this church is a leader because everyone in this church can lead. All of us possess a call like Barak. Every month I get an email from Allie sort of summarizing the previous meeting of the kids team. This is a team of adults that care about kids ministry here at Shepherd's, and they have creative meetings together where they come up with great ideas about what we're going to do for kids ministry. You know, what if kids were present in worship, you know, on the fifth Sunday of every month? What if kids served in this way? What if Vacation Bible School looked like this way? These creative ideas that have created a space where kids feel safe, heard, and loved by the God of the universe. They have a committee meeting every month, and they come up with ideas. That is how they lead. And they haven't had to go to battle with Sisera once, and yet they are fulfilling a call like Barak had as well. You see, the best outcomes are on the other side of collaboration. Let us lead like Deborah. Here at Shepherd's, we practice something called redemptive leadership. Everyone say redemptive leadership. You see, our modern examples of leaders that we see have this pretty succinct pattern. They reject any responsibility when something goes wrong, and they claim credit whenever things go right. Have you all seen this pattern before? Mark Twain, I think, was the one that said that failure is an orphan, but success has 1,000 parents. You know, we want to claim the success that we have and shy away from any responsibility we might carry. You see, our modern model of leadership misses the point. That form of leadership is not working. The point of leadership in the church is not to get things done perfectly, to have great glory, to have great success. Instead, it is to see lives changed. You know, Pastor Mark knew that I was not going to do a great job as someone who took the money at the youth yard sale. The point was not an efficient gathering of coins and dollar bills. Instead, the point was to show a 13-year-old that he might actually be trustworthy, that he might actually be reliable. When someone asks you to do anything in this church, just know that it is as if Barak is being called to take on the enemies of God. Yes, I do mean if someone asks you to lead kids' church, that's what I mean. That the armies of Sisera are coming towards you and they're all under the age of 9, right? That is what I'm telling you. That if greeting is something that someone else sees that you might be good at, that is your opportunity to take on the armies of Sisera. If working in the tech booth is what you're being called to do, the armies of Sisera lie there, and you will take them on. Great Barak, the power that God will show through you. You see, the best outcomes are on the other side of collaboration. Let us lead like Deborah. So, Barak hears that Deborah is calling him to do something, something that he'll be uncomfortable doing, but something that he knows must be done. And what does he say to Deborah? I'll do it, but you have to come with me. I cannot go on my own. Now, what my youth pastor as a kid, what he didn't do was, hey, take the money. You're a 13-year-old. You know how to do this, right? And I, you know, that would have been a great memory of me failing again and again and again. But instead, very patiently, he sat with me, showed me how to line up the faces of the dollar bills, how to take in the cash, where the fives and the ones and the tens go, and where to put them in their place. Like Deborah, we have to ask ourselves, if we are leading, who are we bringing along? If you're leading at Shepherd's or in your life, in your work, in your school, in your family, who are you bringing along to learn how to lead like you? See, Barak needed Deborah, but Deborah also needed Barak. Everyone who leads at Shepherd's needs someone to show them and for someone to show. Every leader, and like I already said, everyone that comes to Shepherd's is a leader. Every leader needs to be shown by someone and to show someone else. The goal is not the job, the goal is to see lives changed. Yes, that means at finance team meetings, at greeting, at kids church, et cetera, the point is not the job or the goal. The goal actually is to see lives changed. You see, the best outcomes are on the other side of collaboration. Let us lead like Deborah. This redemptive leadership is an upside down way of looking at things. Whenever you talk to really effective pastors or really effective church leaders and you tell them about the good things their church has been able to do, the best leaders will say, "It is incredible what we have been able to do, what the people of my church have been able to accomplish. It is so incredible to see the friends that have come because someone else invited them, brought them along. The programming that's happened because someone got trusted and empowered, a powerful thing." In this passage, Deborah tells Barak, "You will not get any of the glory. God will get glory because the armies of Sisera are getting handed over to me, Deborah." And in this moment, we can see exactly what this example is telling us. That when we accomplish great things, it's never been about us. We do church for others and so that we can be changed. Not so that we can gain our own glory, but rather so the world can know God's glory and God can be glorified. I wonder, friends, who will be changed because you have led well? Who will be changed because you have led well? You know, in our Next Steps class, whenever someone decides that they want to know more about shepherds and decides to take that next step, that's how we got the name for the class, Next Steps. I always talk about how whenever you join shepherds, something changes, where if you have a problem, I like vanilla ice, yo, I'll solve it. Instead, it becomes, what are we going to do together? Leadership in the church can often be, can manifest itself sometimes as a complaint. The music, or the sanctuary, or the programming, or the date, or the time, or the et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The thing that I want to see different. Sometimes we think, I should complain to the manager so that can get solved. But instead, that is actually a call from Deborah to call you into the armies of Sisera. You know, there's a great paint job out in the hallways. I don't know if you've seen this. We call it Shepherd's Blue. It's all over, and it looks really, really pretty, really, really nice. And then we've got a nice little, like, slate gray or whatever. I don't know if you've noticed, but for about 2 years, the bathroom hallway has been skin tone beige. Like, not awesome, right? And people began, well, I guess this skin tone. People began to notice, and people asked, "Hey, what's going on there?" And then the response came, "We're just waiting for a painter." And enough people got called by Deborah until finally it got painted. I think it was John Jones that did the final painting. And then that hallway was a weird color as well. And someone got called by Deborah. And this Barak was Penny. And she came and she painted and things look better now. Because a thing that became not as a complaint, but rather a concern or a need, or maybe this could be something different, turned into a great victory that brought God glory. And just like last week, I could fill in 1,000 other stories where concerns, complaints, unease turned into action again and again and again. Who will be changed? Because you have led well. You see, the best outcomes are on the other side of collaboration. Let us lead like Deborah. So I got 2 action points for you this morning. The first one is this: if you already lead, I want you to bring someone along. If you serve in some way here at Shepherd's, if you're a greeter, a small group leader, you work with kids, you are on the praise team, whatever that might be, I want you to look at what it means to bring someone along, teaching them how to mix the coffee or where we keep the syrups. I want you to bring someone along with you. If you lead by being here in worship, I want you to bring someone along with you. If you lead simply by showing up, you know, every Sunday or, you know, 5 Sundays a year, I want you to bring someone along with you. I want you to invite them to come along with you. And then the second one, if you feel like you don't lead, find someone that you want to be led by. If you're finding that your passion, your connection to shepherds is not where you want it to be, I want you to find a leader here in this space and ask them, hey, how'd you get into this? How can I do this as well? And ask a ministry leader to show you the ropes or say yes to an opportunity to serve. These opportunities that we see coming up, they're not just our chance to get the job done, but instead it's a chance for us to change, for our lives to be transformed. You see, the point of the church is not to get the job done, but rather to see lives changed. The best outcomes are on the other side of collaboration. Let us lead like Deborah. Let's pray together.
Hey friends, thank you so much for joining us this week. I hope that this message connected with you and inspired you. Please reach out to us on social media or through our website. We would love to know if this is your church family. If this message meant something to you, please share it with someone that you know or you love, or share it on social media. We know that it would be so much better with you here, so much better with the whole world, knowing of God's great love for all of us. Have a great week and be blessed.